answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Filmed just a few days ago, this video, apparently shot inside Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital, gives a sense of just how many people have been crowded inside. The World Health Organization says this is no longer a functioning hospital. It says there's no more fuel for generators, vital life-saving equipment is no longer working, and according to medical staff at the facility, dozens of newborns have now been removed from incubators and placed together on beds in the open. Israel's ground offensive has been moving ever closer to the gates of Al-Shifa Hospital in recent days, with the US president joining the growing international calls for restraint.
Well, I have not been reluctant in expressing my concerns what's going on. And it's my hope and expectation that there will be less intrusive action relative to the hospital. But the hospital must be protected.
That's the bottom line from President Biden. The Al-Shifa Hospital must be protected. And, of course, the video, the images, and a report that was aired did show horrendous conditions for the patients, children in particular, newborns, now just laying in the open next to each other. And it is exactly the kind of picture the Hamas propaganda war machine wants you to see. They want you to see this and know that the patients inside this hospital that's been shelled and are being actually not shelled by Israel, but surrounded by Israeli tanks and forces trying to move in and advance into the hospital, but have shut off all power and things of this nature, they want you to see how much they're suffering. You think that video would have been allowed to get out if it was going to show Hamas in a bad way? No. They want to show how bad the Palestinians are suffering, blaming it on Israel. Unfortunately, we have too many in this nation that are going to buy the story and see these horrific pictures if you're watching it on television, and you're going to certainly shed a tear, at least feel a break in your heart. You should. Humanity does play. And it should be part of your life as well. But keep in mind, Israel is not causing this. Israel's trying to get to the terrorist buried under the hospital. And we'll have more on that coming up in a moment. Again, thank you for joining us. This is hour number one of two of Larry Connors USA. We're here with you Monday through Friday night, 6 to 8 p.m., and this is November 14, 2023. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. You can always go back later if you miss anything and pull it up and listen and or watch at LarryConnorsUSA.com. And when you do, I also encourage you to share it with others. I thank you for helping spread the word. You're making this program the success it is. The Hamas situation with Israel, depending on which side you're talking to, and I'm going to admit, let's acknowledge, Israel has its side that some may say, well, that's propaganda too. All right. But when you see certain things with your own eyes, if you really know the history and you look at it, you've got to make it a judgment. You can always accept there's another side, but at some point you actually have to make a decision. Which side is on the right, the good? Which is on the evil? Let me remind you of one date that should set that firm in your mind. October 7. Prior to October 7, while it may have been a little bit uneasy and difficult and tenuous and occasional shots fired, exchanges of various types, there was peace between Israel and those in the Gaza Strip, Hamas in particular. Israel has no real fight against the PLO directly. It's against the terrorists that are inside Gaza, and they control Gaza, at least until the recent few days, and Israel's been basically saying, we're now gaining control of Gaza, but of course we're still trying to hunt down the terrorists that are buried in these tunnels, often under hospitals. I want you to hear a CNN report. As the reporter is being escorted into the area with the protection of the Israeli military so he can see firsthand and actually take video and share with his audience. But you can just tell by listening what he's seeing. He's doing a good job of describing it, but he doesn't really believe his eyes. You're going to hear a little bit later.
Driving into Gaza with the Israeli forces. It's a war zone. The conditions of our access only show officers, no faces of soldiers, and don't show sensitive equipment. We are passing mile after mile of destruction. Buildings blown, collapsed, nothing untouched by the fury of Israel's hunt for Hamas. Streets here crushed back to sand.
Shops, everything that we see, no sign of any civilians here, and the soldiers have been telling us that even inside the stores, they've been finding things like rocket-propelled grenades ready to use against them as they were advancing through this area.
So he's telling you about some of the actions and damage they've seen and making it clear that we're only able to show you officers' faces and no high-tech equipment and things of that nature. Well, that's the way it should be. They did make a point to state before that report began that they did not have to offer their video and or their comments to Israeli authorities for censorship or for corrections or anything of that nature. In other words, they were able to present it, but they had to abide by certain rules. Some things you cannot show. It might be detrimental to our forces. And CNN and the reporter apparently went along with that, which is good. That's the way they should. And yet, the reporter wants to bring us back to the report that Israel is the one that is facing the most world pressure.
Israel is facing massive international pressure over the destruction of homes, the shockingly high civilian death toll, and in the last few days, over its apparently heavy-handed tactics at hospitals.
We are searching the tunnel with the bulldozers to reveal the tunnels that we suspect that are underneath the hospital.
Gari has brought us here to show the connection he says exists between Hamas and the Rentisi Children's Hospital.
We're now here in an area between a hospital, a school, and a terrorist house.
A Hamas commander, he says, lived there. He points out the solar panels on the roof.
This is a tunnel that was slided like this, the floor. You can see here.
This is the ladder going down.
See the ladder going down.
I see the ladder going down.
Okay, this is a 20-meter tunnel. And look at here. Look at the tunnel. Be careful here. But look down here. The cables are going down to the tunnel. Okay?
So they're hardwired into the tunnel.
For what I wanted to show you, the solar panels on the terrorist house provide electricity directly to the tunnel. We've entered a robot inside the tunnel, and the robot saw a massive door, a door that is on the direction of the hospital.
In other words, that tunnel had a door that would lead directly to the hospital. You heard the reporter point out that on top of the roof of this particular building where the Israeli Defense Forces say a Hamas leader lived, there were those solar panels. And all the wiring, bringing in the solar energy, went down into the tunnel. And, of course, then he was showing them various munitions they found down there. Now, I know some will say, oh, well, that's Israelis. They planted all that stuff before they took the reporter. They didn't dig the tunnel overnight and put it all down there. Come on. Be honest. I want you to hear from a Florida congressman. He's a Democrat. I also want to point out that he's Jewish. Now, some will say, well, that's going to slant his view. This is a Democrat, Florida Congressman Jared Moskowitz, who just made a trip to Israel, met with Benjamin Netanyahu and others, and he came back, and this was his assessment, even as he's appearing on CNN and N.
Right now, unfortunately, in this country, on social media, our kids and us are being manipulated by a psyops by China and Russia, feeding us all sorts of pictures and imagery and fake propaganda on what's going on there. But the situation is extremely dire. Hamas is using that as a headquarters. Israel has tried to set up a field hospital, you know, tried to get the UN to work on it. That hasn't happened. Israel's tried to get, you know, people out of that. Hamas is making them stay at the point of gunpoint to create human shields. Hamas wants them to get killed. Hamas wants Palestinians to be killed and then to feed that propaganda. Hamas is not interested in winning the day-to-day war. They're interested in winning the propaganda war, which they are winning with the helps of China and Russia and the social media platforms.
Social media platforms are not the only option, obviously. And my co-producer, Quentin, reminded me that was actually on MSNBC instead of CNN, so I appreciate the correction. But the Hamas propaganda is not limited to just social media. We all know that. Now, again, Moskowitz is Jewish, but he's also a Democrat. Chuck Schumer is Jewish and a Democrat. But Moskowitz says we're clearly being played by the propaganda being fed to us by Hamas through either social media and our, what I call, state-controlled media in our nation. I want you to go back and listen to the CNN reporter that we began with, who was escorted into Gaza by the Israeli Defense Forces. And even after he's personally seen a lot of the stuff with his own eyes, his questioning shows that he's still suspicious of Israel's action, and is he being played?
By bringing us here to this hospital and showing us the connection that you believe exists between the terrorists and the possibly hostages, what does this say about the other hospitals here in Gaza?
Cynically, Shifa Hospital is known by facts, by intelligence, to be a terrorist hub. And also, it's suspicious also in holding hostages. This is the best shelter for the terror war machine of Hamas.
But the hospital authorities said they have no knowledge of Hamas or other groups inside the hospitals. Is that possible?
I think it's not possible for an hospital to have this kind of an infrastructure. We knew the terrorists were here. We knew.
How did you know?
We knew. By intelligence, and also we got some fire from this area.
From this area, this building?
From this area, and we were right to fire because what we found, an armory.
But so much damage all around here.
Yeah, there is damage all around here because Hamas made it impossible for us to fight him. He built all this infrastructure in tunnels and in hospitals around areas populated.
On purpose, because they want civilian casualties. There was a journalist gathering at the Israeli Police Academy, and they were questioning some of the video that they were being shown of what happened October 7, and they were seeing some very graphic video of what happened on that date. They were not allowed to take any phones, smartphones, that they could take pictures with into the room or photograph any content, but they got to see themselves what was carried out, what happened to these babies whose heads got chopped off that they didn't, could not determine which head belonged with which baby in some cases. And they show one video sequence where police are searching for survivors at the scene of that music video, one video showing a woman's corpse naked from the waist down. And the Israeli police commissioner said there's even more disturbing footage we are not showing. He said we have some interrogation video, which they did show, of terrorists saying they received orders to kill and kidnap as many people as possible. One of the terrorists, by being interrogated, said they'd been promised an apartment and $10,000 for each hostage. Another recalling a terrorist taking a selfie with a teenage girl they'd captured. All of this is played out for the journalists. You know what the journalist's reaction was? Well, we want more evidence. We want more evidence. You want more evidence. maybe you would have believed it if you'd been there yourself that day. You think you might have? And what would you say to journalists who say, I want more evidence that this actually happened the way you say it did? I want to go back again to Jared Moskowitz. Again, he's a Florida congressman, Democrat. He is Jewish. And he's defending Israel, but not just because of taking a side based on his religion, but on what has been happening.
Israel is doing what it can, but Hamas is turning things down. They're turning down incubators. They're turning down fuel, you know, to get to that hospital. And one of the things that's important here is that, listen, this is absolutely tragic. There are civilians absolutely getting killed. But the numbers that, you know, Hamas is releasing under the guise of the Gaza Ministry of Health, that number includes terrorists. That number includes Hamas terrorists that have been killed, thousands of them. So we're even being manipulated by the numbers. But there's no doubt that Israel has to do what it can to try to remove Hamas from the Gaza Strip and protect civilians.
But he knows that, again, these tunnels that exist under Gaza, under hospitals, under baby beds, under refugee centers, right in the midst of the civilian population, they put them there with a purpose. And that is because their attitude is, as expressed yesterday, if you want to come attack Gaza, you're hitting everybody above ground. Those are civilians. You have to get to us in the tunnels. We're not responsible for anybody dying above the ground. The hell you're not. You put your tunnels and your munitions and your command centers under civilian populations and hospitals. And there's another question that's not been raised by many. And one of the Israeli ministers, Nir Barkat, had just returned to the States. He said, there's a question that's not being raised, and I want to raise it on behalf of those who need to hear it.
Took hostages, 239 to count today, that we have no idea what's happening to them. 4 months old babies, over 30 children under the age of 16, abducted and held hostages. We don't know where they are. We don't know where they are. On the plane here to the United States, I spent some time with one of the fathers that his son is a hostage. He has no clue if he's alive, if he's healthy. Where's Red Cross? Where's the world asking, pushing Hamas, ISIS to give us answers, humanitarian answers? Where are the 239 hostages?
Yeah, where are they? He's right. I'm not hearing anybody cry out for that. Coming up, a bipartisan Senate resolution praising President Biden, putting more U.S. forces in the area, but also a warning of what could suddenly escalate the Israeli-Hamas war. And in the next hour, inflation numbers proving Bidenomics is not working. So what are you to do if you are looking to buy or sell a home? How should that affect what you do? I'll have a guest on that issue. And CDC issuing new health check guidelines that might affect you if you're flying. Here we go again. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Planning a party with family, friends, maybe a business party. Cafe Napoli has four locations, and each has rooms to fit your needs. But a word to the wise, book early. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. Also get some Cafe Napoli gift cards, good for all locations, anytime. I'll see you at Cafe Napoli.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
You want to give a unique gift this holiday? I suggest Stolach Whiskey, produced in Missouri. Stolach Whiskey, born of natural limestone filtered water from the Ozark Highlands, aged in Missouri oak. Stolach, so smooth. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. So next time, ask for Stolach. Visit the website, stolach.com. Stolach, Stolloch, from Stone Ledge Distillery.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There's two things that could happen here that would expand this war. If Americans are killed by Iranian proxies in Syria and Iraq, we believe that would be a provocation deserving a military response. We've had over 50 American soldiers injured in Iraq and Syria since October the 7th. By Iranian-backed proxies in Syria and Iraq. One of the fears is that Hezbollah could open up a second front in the north against Israel. They have hundreds of thousands of rockets, some are precision-guided. That would be a very bad situation for Israel. And what we intend to do is urge the administration to go to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is the Ayatollah and his henchmen. This religious theocracy is on a quest to purify Islam. That's why the Sunni Arabs feel so threatened. To destroy the state of Israel and come after us, America and others, who are infidels. If you don't believe me, listen to what they're saying.
Yeah, all you have to do is listen to what you hear from Iran. Death to America. They were shouting that, death to America, within hours of President Biden saying he was going to unfreeze $6 billion being held in Qatar and give to them. And hours, I should say days after that, suddenly Hamas decides to attack Israel. And Biden does not want to accept any acknowledgement that by saying I'm going to give you the money that we had frozen, then gave the Iranian government the authority and ability, I should say, to say, well, you know, we can spend some of what we've got because we got another $6 billion coming. But I'll remind you again, please keep in mind, that $6 billion, which obviously I protest strongly, as well as you, they've collected more than $100 billion plus during the Biden administration because he lifted the sanctions, he eased the sanctions for Iran. So they are building their war machine in Iran and also sending more money to their terrorist Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon. They're doing everything they can to unstabilize that part of the world. So today, Senators Graham and Blumenthal introducing a bipartisan resolution with four Democrats and four senators signing on so far, basically suggesting that if it continues to escalate and if they continue to target U.S. forces, Iran, you can expect an immediate and swift reaction. I have one question. Why do we have to have a resolution from senators to Iran on that point? Why don't we get that direct statement from the White House? Ah, yeah, we all know the answer to that one, don't we? I wasted your brain power and my breath asking that question. Now, they did praise Biden before they introduced their resolution for sending a second aircraft carrier strike group into the eastern Mediterranean near Israel to deter Iran or Hezbollah from joining directly into Israeli-Hamas conflict. The carrier Eisenhower strike group went in following the Gerald Ford that was arrived earlier this week. I know some have asked, why are they both in that region? I pointed out that, well, and not only that, they have a sub, we know a nuclear sub with them as well. Because they can carry out different actions. You only have so many flights and planes you can get on a carrier and off the deck in the time of need. And with two carrier jet groups there, then they've got more options, which is a good idea. We have nowhere else hotter than this right now in the world. Now, could China look at this and say, oh, this is a good time to move in on Taiwan? They could. But China seems to be content to be the shield over Iran, holding the umbrella over them and also dropping money down to them to continue their war and let them tie us up and let Russia tie things up in Ukraine. And China's just waiting to pounce, just like the tiger it is. I want to go back to, I'd mentioned to you earlier that reporters were given a briefing by the Israeli police operations, the police commissioner, shown some of the footage and the evidence of what took place that day on October 7th. They were not allowed to take pictures. They're not allowed to do anything but watch, but then go out and they could report on it. And the basic response from the reporters was, well, how do we know this happened? Why can't we get more? We want more information, more detail. The details that were given them were so horrific and gory, they could not even begin to be seen on public television, state-controlled or not. And they are being told by the Israeli police that we're going to carry out charges of rape against anyone we could identify, that we're doing DNA testing and so forth, but so far we don't have any known living victims of rape. One Israeli soldier who had participated in the battles on October 7th, once they got word that what had happened, he said he saw several naked females around the Israeli communities where the terrorists had attacked. Israeli police were the first actually on the scene to battle with them. And we've talked a lot about the Israeli Defense Forces. And there was a failure. And they did not have barracks of them available right on the border. And I, to this date, I cannot understand that. But the bottom line is, it ended up being the Israeli police in some of these kibbutzes to do what they could. But they were only armed with pistols. And now we're being told 58 of the Israeli police officers lost their lives that day while trying to defend the citizens of their kibbutz, but there was only so much they could do. And here's another report that involves the Israeli defense on what was going on and how they were responding and what they're doing now.
Israel's military has accused Hamas of using hospitals to hide command centers and weapons, and it's now released footage of what it says is a children's hospital in Gaza.
The tunnel is let down more than 20 meters down. The rowboat found a door. A door that is bulletproof, it's explosive-proof.
Alleging Hamas had held hostages in rooms beneath the hospital.
We are now in the area of the basement of the hospital.
Along with a cache of weapons and explosives.
Inside the hospital. I want you to understand, this kind of gear is a gear for a major fight. These are explosives. These are vests with explosives. Yeah, it's a body vest for terrorists to explode on forces, among hospitals, among patients.
That is, again, an IDF major talking to a news crew about what we're showing you, what we've seen, and where we know these tunnels go, direct to the hospitals, so they can transport men and equipment back and forth. Of course, we've had a major demonstration in D.C. as tens of thousands showing up, March for Israel. Added security was brought in for obvious reasons. And at the same time that that march was underway, Joe Biden made a point to skip the march. The rallying organizer of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations said, I invited President Biden to attend, but he wasn't doing so. So for many, Biden's absence, even though he will stand there and say to Menachem Begin, I'm sorry, to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu when he went to Israel, we are with you, we stand with you. But I've been telling you, he keeps sliding farther away because the yells and shouts from the progressive left about Hamas needs to be supported as well. No, they don't. You need to be condemned directly. It's not an argument over a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. It's a war. So Biden chose to skip the March for Israel rally, even though he was invited. And, of course, that certainly shows he is again bowing down to the leftists inside his party that think it's okay to condemn Israel and order and call for a pause and ceasefire. Israel has done that on different occasions for hours at a time, 3 to 4 hours. You think Hamas is stopping its actions during that time? No, they're not. They're not stopping anything. They're taking advantage of it. Getting deeper into the tunnels, moving some of their supplies because they're afraid the Israeli troops are getting too close. I want to give you another example of how far we've gotten at this point. At Harvard University, more than 100 university faculty members signed an open letter responding to the school because it came up with a combating anti-Semitism initiative. Yeah, Harvard actually came up with an initiative to combat anti-Semitism. And now these 100 Harvard University professors are questioning the school's commitment to free speech and expression. Faculty saying, we're astounded. Astonished by the pressure from donors, alumni, and members to silence faculty, students, and staff critical of actions undertaken by Israel against Hamas. It's important to acknowledge the patronizing tone and format of much of the criticism. And we're just dismayed that you're bowing down to them. In other words, if you bow down to us, it's okay. But if you let another voice be heard, not so much. Coming up, a big event in Vegas might turn out to be a big bust. Formula One.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then, I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beal, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Vincent's Jewelers has the hottest gift for the holidays. Flexible bracelets. Quality, beauty, starting at just $150. And of course you'll want to check for rings, pendants, maybe watches. I suggest you check the website each day for new items and specials. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Vincent's, my only jeweler.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Lit Cigar wins Best Smoking Lounge and Best Smoke Shop in the Riverfront Times Best of St. Louis listing for 2023. That is 2 years back-to-back. Lit Cigar Lounge and its new space in the district just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is for men and women who enjoy great cigars, premium drinks. The website keeps you on top of special events, including live entertainment. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I was been considering, and I haven't finally made up my mind, and yet I think I have. They're coming up this week, starting Thursday this week. The practice session begins for the Formula One race through the streets of Las Vegas. And then Friday, there will be a couple of practice sessions. I want to give you the time on these. Thursday, the practice first session is 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Going to be running at night in Vegas. Now, it's not because temperatures of the streets are so hot in Vegas, obviously in November. They might actually be very cool. They often, when the Formula One drivers are racing in parts of the Mideast, Far East, because temperatures are so hot, they must run at night. And why are they doing this? Well, my co-producer Quentin raised the obvious answer to my question yesterday, and now it's been validated by a piece written up in the Federalist, and I'll share that with you in a moment. But then on Friday at 12 a.m. Friday, they're going to have their second practice, and they will have another practice at 8:30 p.m. Friday. The qualifying runs will be run at 12 a.m. Saturday morning, 12 a.m. in Las Vegas. Well, Las Vegas never sleeps. There'll be a lot of people there to see it, but 12 a.m. on the Las Vegas Pacific time, what's that mean for wherever you're living? And then the race itself is going to be at 10 p.m. Saturday. Now, again, there'll be a lot of folks wanting to see it at night, but again, those times has nothing to do with the heat on the street or anything else. It has nothing to do with trying to control traffic in Las Vegas. As Quentin pointed out to me yesterday, he said there are basically, and he's absolutely right, trying to showcase Las Vegas more than Grand Prix and Formula One, because they are not catering to the U.S. Formula One interest, but those internationally. So by showing it at the race itself at 10 p.m. in the U.S., actually the Pacific time, you're looking at maybe, depending on where you are in Europe, 9 to noon or later during the day. So there's a piece written by Christopher Jacobs for The Federalist. Why Formula One's Las Vegas gamble could go bust. He begins by saying Formula One wrongly assumed hosting a Grand Prix along the Las Vegas Strip gave it carte blanche to charge insane prices and snub U.S. viewers. That's part of the key. He said, it all sounds so appealing, and I agree with it. Exotic Formula One cars sprinting down Las Vegas Boulevard, the famous strip at nearly 200 miles an hour, a nighttime spectacle of glitz and glamour. They wanted to become the American version of the Monte Carlo, and that's not going to happen. They run that every May, and they run it during the daytime. But he adds, but this nine-figure gamble could go bust because of logistical and technical obstacles creating public relations headaches for Formula One. He said if they persist through race weekend, which starts this Thursday and concludes Saturday night race, he said the series might need to hope that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. He said there are numerous articles already about local headaches associated with staging the Grand Prix on the Strip. Formula One has spent hundreds of millions of dollars buying land near the Strip, constructing a pit and a garage area along with stands for watching the race. Work has snarled Las Vegas traffic, diminishing Strip icons like the Bellagio's fountains. Quentin, you told me you were just in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't even see the fountains. They got a great big wall put up there. Part of that is maybe they're going to put grandstands there, also maybe to keep cars from going into the fountains. Now, it's a straightaway, so not going to be turns, but still any kind of bump could send a car careening. So they're saying all the views of Vegas that you would normally see, it's been a hassle for visitors and locals alike for the last several months. Last time I was there was back in July during the World Series of Poker. They had not begun any of that at that point. He said the city did avert one crisis last Friday when the last hotel chain reached an agreement with the union on contract preventing a strike during this. But then, of course, the employees at these hotel chains and the casinos are not going to be allowed to get anywhere near. They're going to have to park at a distant spot, and they use shuttle buses to and from, and a lot of them are already disgruntled and upset over that. And if you are going to go visit or you're going to stay in a hotel, you're not going to be able to get right to the door of your hotel, except at certain times of the day. Otherwise, you'll have to take your luggage and hoof your way from the nearest point where they'll let you in. And the prices already were amazing. He points out the cheapest ticket to see the race on Saturday cost $1,200. That's a grandstand seat, not including taxes and fees. Passes for the entire weekend cost several times that much. Even general admissions tickets, which don't have a reserved seat, cost you $500. He said those are higher than any Formula One Grand Prix, to say nothing of tickets for other auto racing events. He said my general admission ticket for the Indy 500 this past May cost $500. And that covered nearly 3 weeks of practice, qualifying, and race sessions. These tickets are good for only 3 days of racing in Las Vegas. He said my ticket also at $500 include full access to the pit and garage areas, including on race day. There's an analysis, he points out, that last week showed that at least 10,000 tickets being held by race organizers still not sold. Many being sold at cut-rate prices at websites like StubHub and others, trying to unload them. And Las Vegas hotels, the same boat. When the race was announced last year, they jacked up their prices for race weekend, charging up to well over 1,000 a night. But now there's not a sellout, so hotels are slashing the rates again almost by 60, in some cases 80%, trying to get somebody, please come. So Formula One and the Vegas hotels thought that somehow amid the worldwide problems with inflation, 100,000 or so race fans would be willing to shell out $10,000 or so, including flights, hotels, and tickets, to spend a weekend at a Grand Prix. He said that is a ridiculous proposition if ever there were one, and they're learning their lesson the hard way. I think he nailed it. He also said, again, as we were mentioning, the event's time, the race on Saturday night, will not start until 10 p.m. Las Vegas time. He said that's probably good for a city on nightlife in Vegas, but that amounts to 1 a.m. Sunday morning on the East Coast. That's for the start of the race. It won't end until nearly 3 a.m. in Washington and New York. But then, of course, if you follow what Quentin had told me the other day, you look at the European audience, they'll be watching at midday or afternoon. He said there are many reasons why Formula One's Las Vegas gamble could come up snake eyes. You play dice, you know, that's not good. Not good. You crap out, you lose all your money. Now, as I said, I'd been considering, a friend had said he had connections, and I don't know if he had some comps or whatever, and the flight wasn't going to be that much, but I was not going to play insane, be willing to pay insane prices even for grandstand, and I don't want to pay $500 to stand along a rail where you have to crowd into everyone. But I'm looking at the prices on Saturday at the T-Mobile Zone grandstands. Prices from $1,200 to $1,300. The East Harmon Zone grandstands, part of the Vegas area, minimum price $1,500. They don't have prices on some of the others. The Mirage, if you're going to be in their grandstand, they're not, or their VI grandstand, they're not listing it. On Saturday, you must buy a three-day pass. That would be $4,000 for one person. Now, unless my connection and friend comes up with something really, really special, I'm out. Although I was excited about it originally. I thought it'd be a great idea. And I was trying to talk to some guys last year, let's get together and pool our money and get one suite, and then we'll get some grandstand seats off of that, and then we'll go from there. Well, I'm kind of glad that we never got our act together, because if we would have paid at that time something like $12,000 for one or two nights total, now you could get it for maybe $1,500 a night. Ooh, I would have been placing a bad bet myself. So Quentin was right. He said this could be the biggest bust ever. Now, there are no women nor transgender drivers in Formula One, so far. You know, I like that phrase, so far. But yesterday I told you that U.S. soccer team captain Megan Rapinoe is out of the World Cup because of an injury. This is going to be her last competition anyway. And, of course, she claimed the fact that I got injured because I just slipped and tore my Achilles heel. She said, that proves there is no God. That woman amazes me that she thinks everything in the universe, including God's eyes, center on her. Don't you think there are other people suffering a lot worse than your torn Achilles heel? But she was also insisting, I support biological men being allowed to play women's soccer. Well, now she's no longer going to be playing. And as I said yesterday, if a transgender had been competing against her when she was trying to compete in the beginning, she might have not have ever come to the limelight. But now she's out, she said, oh yeah, let's let the transgender men come into the women's sports. Well, Canada did allow in the cup a transgender to play in the World Cup. Piers Morgan had a meltdown. That's coming up when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The new superstar, the Canada midfielder Quinn, is the first transgender non-binary footballer to play in the Women's World Cup. Hang on a second, hang on. Is she a but is she, they, whatever, is she a biological male? No, it turned out she's a biological female.
So
what is she? She is a transgender non-binary.
Mm-hmm. That's Piers Morgan, outraged over the first trans non-binary player at the World Cup. That was a while back that he made it, but I wanted to go back to it because this is a Canadian midfielder, Quinn, who did take the field in a game against Australia. That's back on July 31. I just haven't had time because so many things going on. The 26-year-old played the entire 90 minutes, but was not able to help the team find a breakthrough. They got off to a frustrating start. Quinn, born as a biological female, came out as non-binary and trans in 2020, dropping first name, now identifying with pronouns they and them, as you were hearing Piers Morgan point out. And also had become the first out trans and non-binary athlete competing at the Tokyo Olympics. Well, the bottom line is, Piers Morgan, you might consider him in many ways to be somewhat liberal, but watching and listening to him go crazy over this, you get the idea that he thinks, this makes no common sense.
The new superstar, the Canada midfielder, Quinn, is the first transgender non-binary footballer to play in the Women's World Cup. Hang on a second. Is she a biological male? No, it turned out she's a biological female. So what is she? She is a transgender non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? How can you be transgender and non-binary?
Because that's what they are.
I just want to get my head around this. If you're no longer identifying as a woman, what are you doing playing in the Women's World Cup? She doesn't qualify. They don't qualify, even though there's only one of them. They don't qualify for the Women's World Cup because they used to be a woman, but now they don't want to be a woman. So now we have to call them they for being a transgender, even though they're non-binary, and they're still playing in the Women's World Cup, and we're all supposed to go, well done, Quinn, what a moment! What a moment! But no one's quite sure what we're celebrating.
Boy, you get twisted up in all of that, don't you? Because it is twisted. Now, there's some sports you're going to think and some competition you think it doesn't really make a difference if you're male or female. Poker would be one. They have a ladies tournament in almost every tournament I've ever been to. And from time to time, a guy will enter and normally gets beat. So much for that. But there's no strength involved. It's using your wits and your skill or maybe whatever. And you might think that pool would be one of those. But a top-ranking woman pool player refusing to play against anyone who's not biologically female. She is a fifth-ranking female international pool player, and she was going to be facing a transgender again, and she said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to continue. I've been playing pool since I'm 17, fifth in the world. I hate risking throwing away everything over this because I am going to. I hate unfairness. Now, why would it be unfair? Well, another female pool player did the same thing. She was to play a transgender in her finals, and she walked away, went up to the judges, said, I forfeit. I'm not going to play. So the Harriet Haynes became the 2023 Ladies Masters and is a transgender. Footage showing the player going to the referee that said, I'm going to forfeit the game, and walked away. Her brother said, I applaud her and give her great respect. Now, in pool, they're talking about the reach, the length, the ability, and you must keep a foot on the floor and other things. So if this is a great big man now claiming to be a woman, he could certainly make some shots that they cannot even begin to reach. So sometimes it's not a matter of strength or anything. There are other biological issues that come into play. And what have we done in all of this? We have destroyed women's rights. We have thrown women under the bus. I say we, those of you who accept this nonsense. Coming up in the next hour, you don't want to miss what we got. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.